Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fam?
What is going on, fam? We're back. Alex Hardy here. With me, as always, my main man, John Salas. We have so much to get into on an exciting week 9 for fantasy football. What's going on, John Salas?
Normally, Mr. Hardy, I'm here in a great mood, but so much stuff has happened and a stab to my heart. Me and all the Michael Thomas truthers have finally had to bury him in the ground. He has announced he's out for the season, which means I have kicked him to the curb. And what I thought was going to be a smart pick ended up costing me. But we live on. We're still in first place. So YOLO. Goodbye, Michael Thomas, Slant Boy.
RIP, Slant Boy. It's kind of amazing. I'm not putting on my tinfoil hat exactly, but I will say this. Michael Thomas, hours after Taysom Hill, likely named the starter, says, "That's it, fam. I'm out. That's it for 2021. Maybe he just doesn't want to play with Taysom Hill. But the Saints are an interesting offense. The NFL trade deadline, which was all smoke but no fire, potentially had Odell Beckham Jr. recruiting his dad, LeBron James, try to get him to, of all places, New Orleans. And I just thought that was funny that if you were complaining about Baker Mayfield not getting you the football in Cleveland, imagine the type of job that Taysom Hill and the New Orleans Saints offense could do when it's completely predicated around him running the football and, dump offs to Slant Boy. So no OBJ to New Orleans as of yet. That could still happen. And no Slant Boy, no Michael Thomas for this year. I do have to consider whether or not I want to spend a sixth-round pick on him for a keeper league, but Maybe you guys can give me some advice as the season goes along and our keeper questions come up at the end of the year. The Saints certainly tried to make headlines ahead of the NFL trade deadline. That came and went, and immediately the Green Bay Packers back with COVID news after Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard missed Thursday night football a week ago. Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. It turns out he wasn't vaccinated after all. Now, John, I'm not going to make any jabs at Aaron Rodgers because we now know that he doesn't like jabs of any kind. And we're going to save the hot and spirited debate for Aaron Rodgers' right to choose for our politics/holistic medicine podcast that we do over the weekends.
Yeah, I think my poli-sci class that I took in school does not have me qualified to talk about politics based on that grade. So great call, but medicine, catch us on the weekends in the lab and you can call me doctor.
Not a doctor.
I do have a minor in psychology, which we can dust off another time, John Salas. But it turns out that even though the world does seem to revolve around Aaron Rodgers, but Saquon Barkley, who was still probably a week away from returning and the Giants set to take their bye week coming up, he'll be out for week 9 testing positive for COVID.
Talk about having bad luck. Saquon Barkley hurt again. Like you said, may not have been coming back this week, but then COVID happens. So for a fantasy owner, you're just sitting there going, why did I waste my first or second pick on this guy? But hope he gets better. And at the end of the season, when you really need him, let's go Saquon.
We at least knew Saquon wasn't going to play. Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, all still questionable.
Real quick, though, with all these weapons questionable, Raiders, horrible against tight ends. Streamer, Evan Ingram,
really?
Don't overthink it. But
really?
He could fit right in there, only because I'm in that situation.
Speaking of tight ends, Noah Fant of the Denver Broncos testing positive for COVID as well. In a highly anticipated matchup with the Dallas Cowboys, although it was interesting to see the return of Jerry Jeudy and Albert, John.
Aquagbunam?
Albert Aquagbunam. Did you get it?
Pretty sure I got that right.
So the return of Jerry Jeudy and Albert O meant targets were going everywhere. You're just going to see anywhere from 3 to 7 targets for the likes of Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, Albert O. I admittedly dropped Noah Fant because in a reduced role, his snap count went down. In 12 personnel, he's more of a blocker than Albert O is. I'm taking a shot on Albert O in deep leagues, and Noah Fant is off my team. He's no good for me week 9. Week 10, the Broncos are on a bye. So 2 weeks in a thin tight end position, I've completely moved on. A.J. Green seemed to be moving on from Kyler Murray on Thursday Night Football when he didn't even turn around, and Rasul Douglas became the hero of Thursday Night Football. A.J. Green testing positive for COVID as well. There are more concerns with the Cardinals' offense because while the reduction of his targets may mean that some of the other receivers get more exposure, DeAndre Hopkins is questionable, and more importantly, John, Kyler Murray questionable with an ankle injury.
So, real quick, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't really concern me. I feel like this is just a new normal for him where he's just going to either skip all week of practice, maybe practice one day, and then he's ready to go.
Yeah, he was limited to just 15 snaps and held to 3 catches on Thursday night. It was a quick week. Hopefully the additional time helps, but it's definitely worth watching.
And if that touchdown doesn't get called back, then we're all sitting pretty with at least 12 or 13 points.
That's a great point. That made me mad.
Yes. Same. That was brutal. But here's the thing. If Kyler Murray's your QB1 and you don't have one on the bench, you better start looking because there's a good shot he may not play this weekend. And depending how bad it is, I've always been told it's better to break it and not sprain it. So I'm going to apply that here to Kyler Murray for a guy who is a running quarterback. Got to be really cautious with him. Super cautious. And speaking of being cautious, Alex, you said forget being cautious. Allen Robinson, I remember we've talked about when was the right time to drop him. We thought maybe with Matt Nagy being out with COVID that this would be his breakout game. It wasn't. You kicked him to the curb. Now, why should our listeners also get Allen Robinson and kick him to the curb as well?
John, there's a few reasons that I dropped Allen Robinson. And the most important, before we even talk about the Bears wide receiver, first and foremost, I've got a cupcake matchup this week. You know who I've got for fantasy?
Ooh, is it a bald cupcake?
Not Keith Arizari, but you, John Salas. I've got John Salas.
We're playing
Salas.
For first.
No, I have a 2-game lead for first place.
We're playing for first. We're playing for first. We beat the first place team, Warren first. That's how it works.
So I'm taking the risk because I've gotten myself out to a pretty solid lead. And you mentioned it, without Matt Nagy patrolling the sidelines. I mean, listen, Bill Lazor's been handling the offense for the last month. But I was encouraged in week 7 when the Bears were trailing and Allen Robinson ran 33 pass routes. It was the most that he had run since week 1, which was, in fact, the only time he had been targeted a double-digit number of times. Fast forward, no more Andy Dalton, Justin Fields under center. His snap count actually dipped to 78% this past week, which was the lowest that he's managed. 33 routes against Tampa Bay, I mentioned, just 20 this past week. So if the Bears are leading or they're at least competitive like they were against San Francisco, Allen Robinson is looking at 20, 25 routes. And the last 2 weeks, only 4 targets each. That's just not going to get it done. It's not just about dropping Allen Robinson, John. And this gets us to our next segment. I wanted a piece of a running back committee, and I just didn't know which one to go for. So I think to the benefit of myself, to talk myself into a good move, and to the benefit of our listeners, I'd like to introduce what we're going to call Which Committee RB is for Me. For a one-for-one move, I dropped Allen Robinson and picked up Boston Scott, the Philadelphia Eagles running back, who stepped up with Miles Sanders officially on IR. So, John, Which Committee RB is for Me? We're going to start with the Eagles and cover a handful of teams that, you know, due to injury or another setback, we have to pick from multiple running backs, not sure which one to go with. So let's start with the three-headed monster, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, and Jordan Howard. What did you see when all three of them had at least touches, but only two of them, Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, getting production? Were you surprised that Kenneth Gainwell was the odd man out?
Yes and no. Now, last week I did say jokingly, don't be surprised if Jordan Howard and Boston Scott, especially Jordan Howard, come in and just vulture touches away.
Yeah, he did.
Kenneth Gainwell, I know if you picked him up, you started him this week, and I am so sorry.
We are deeply sorry.
We know the Eagles don't like to run the ball as it is, if it's not Jalen Hurts. So, Alex, I'm getting my knife and I'm stabbing it right through the Eagles on our board, saying they are not for you. I just don't like this situation at all. I just can't do it. And I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to be a good sport and I won't let you do it against me because it has to be fair.
Well, John, you mentioned they don't like to run the football, but they clearly do when we're in garbage time situation. No. Not the Jalen Hurts down 20 garbage time special, but when they were up 40 points on the Detroit Lions, it turned out that the Eagles offense was 37 rushing attempts from the running backs and just 14 passing attempts to go with 7 rushes and 70 yards of his own for Jalen Hurts. So there aren't going to be too many teams where the Eagles are going to build up a lead and run the ball 45 times. But I picked Boston Scott out of this trio because we didn't see Kenneth Gainwell or Jordan Howard until this game got out of hand. Boston Scott had 12 carries pre-garbage time, and Kenneth Gainwell, who we assumed would get a passing down role, just didn't see the targets. Again, Jalen Hurts only throwing the ball 14 times. When the Eagles are trailing, they're going to utilize Gainwell, who's a third down back out of the backfield. Touchdown upside limited for both Scott and Gainwell by Jordan Howard, like you mentioned. But I think Boston Scott is going to be the lead back. He's coming out in early downs. If you're thin at running back, I think Boston Scott is the Eagles running back to own out of that committee.
Philadelphia fans love football in a really dark and disturbing way.
So I'm going to give you a committee, Alex, that I absolutely love. Mike Davis, Cordell Patterson of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Calvin Ridley announced that he is stepping away from the team. For how long, we unfortunately don't know, but we wish him the best.
Absolutely.
Back to fantasy purposes now. This opens up the field for Cordell Patterson. He was already averaging about 5 targets a game in the pass game. I expect that to go up. Also, running the ball. He's also touching it about 10 times a game rushing. But here's the thing. Kyle Pitts, always going to be there, going to get his looks. Mike Davis, yeah, he's going to split in there. But Calvin Ridley, the touchdown guy. Who's going to be that guy now? Big old Cordell Patterson. And even if you have Mike Davis just sitting around there, go ahead and start him too. But this is a committee I love, and especially Cordell Patterson if I had to pick. Remember, Yahoo owners, running back, wide receiver split. Pick your choice. Throw him in.
I think Cordarrelle just has so much value all over the football field. Calvin Ridley's out, and we immediately assume that Russell Gage is going to pick up the slack. Wasn't even targeted this past week. And so with Cordarrelle, I believe, lining up more on the outside as a receiver, a guy that can break tackles, make plays. We saw that on the touchdown play. That just means Mike Davis is your guy in the backfield. In all but 2 games this year, he's gotten 5 targets out of the backfield. And if the Falcons' offense is competent, or more importantly, the offensive line is not, that means more dump-off balls. I think Mike Davis is just going to be in the backfield even more.
The Falcons, rise up! Oh, it's getting hot in here. Might need some Matty Ice.
We thought the Buffalo Bills would have a traditional split between Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, like we saw a year ago, but instead, Zach Moss was a healthy scratch for week 1. Devin Singletary looked like the guy to own. And now, John, within the last couple of weeks, Zach Moss is the Bills running back, and Devin Singletary's production on the field seems to have just disappeared. He had 5 catches against Tennessee, and then the rest of the season, he's only managed 1 catch. I thought that was his role. Instead, we've seen Zach Moss's snap percentages go up. In the last 2 weeks, he's gone from playing on half of the Bills' offensive snaps to 3/4 of them, and 15 targets in the last 3 games. So the Bills are utilizing him, and Zach Moss is definitely somebody I'm looking to trade for, and I'm moving on from Devin Singletary. I don't want him on my roster.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And it finally, it kind of puts a smile to my face, and I know all fantasy owners, they're all smiling while they're listening to this, because after last year and the year before of the back and forth, I think right now with this high-scoring Bills offense, we can comfortably kick Singletary out, and the direction is Moss. And we don't have to decide. Now we have a starting running back that I feel comfortable that you could probably throw in every week, starting.
Where the green moss grows, your touchdowns will goes. I picked up Derek Gore this week, John Salas, to see if the Chiefs are going to utilize him again, splitting that backfield with Darrell Williams. Again, the Chiefs are very game script dependent with Darrell Williams, and Derek Gore, once they were in a competitive game with the New York Giants on Monday Night Football, became that between tackles runner that they so desperately needed. His first career touchdown was a run up the middle where he cuts to the outside, and it was some lateral quickness that honestly this team has been missing. Is Darrell Williams on his way out? Is it a 50-50 split with Derek Gore? Or am I crazy here for making too much out of, you know, Derek Gore's first game? And again, it's Derek Gore, not Frank Gore, no relation to Frank Gore, and it's not Frank Gore.
So we're racing down the finish line. You got Darrell Williams, you got Derek Gore, and then both those guys, they turn around and they look back, and here comes Edwards Alaire.
Right turn, Clyde.
I think you might be looking a little too much into Derek Gore's first good breakout game here, but CAH's status is what concerns me, because Gore could just be the odd man out, and then it can go back to CEH and Williams splitting that backfield. But if you want to take the flyer, follow CEH's status, stash Gore, and if it's going to be Williams and Gore splitting it, I think he's a touchdown-dependent guy. And if you want to bank on that against the Packers, who are allowing about 4.7 yards per carry, I think you got to take that. I think you got to feel comfortable. But remember, Gore will go where that Chiefs offense goes. And do we trust that Chiefs offense right now is the biggest question.
I'm glad you brought up CEH. He is eligible to come off IR. It looks like the Chiefs aren't going to move in that direction, which reminds me exactly of the Bears situation. So you were really high on Khalil Herbert a week ago, and you tell me why this situation isn't identical to Kansas City, who, again, won a Super Bowl with Damian Williams in their backfield. Right, Damian Williams tests positive for COVID. Khalil Herbert steps up while David Montgomery is out. And now CEH, David Montgomery, both eligible to come off IR. They likely won't for Week 9. Week 10, the Bears are off. We'll see Montgomery come back. But you believe it'll be Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery splitting the backfield. Why, if Derek Gore doesn't step up for Week 9, we see the Chiefs move forward with CEH and Derek Gore for Week 10 and beyond?
I mean, there's no doubt that it can happen, but here's why I'm so confident in Khalil Herbert. 75 yards, 97 yards, 100 yards against
the Tampa Bay
defense. 72 yards. Yeah, he had minus 4 receiving yards, but that's not his fault.
Hey, you remember, he's on the positive Bears. In a PPR league. That's yeah. One. That's 6/10 of a point, John.
So in a PPR league, he's still getting 8 points for you that week. I mean, David Montgomery is going to slowly but surely get eased back into it. And it's not like Darrell Williams has been putting out the crazy numbers that Herbert's been doing. And it's not like Derek Gore came out and ran for 100 yards. Yeah, he got the touchdown, looked agile and looked great. But Khalil Herbert, he's giving me no reason, and especially the Bears, to slow him down. Ride the wave while you can. If Montgomery's not feeling 100%, let him get 100% and just ride Herbert until he slows down.
If we were doing this podcast on Tuesday, John Salas, and not right before Thursday Night Football, we would have led which committee RB is for me with the Tennessee Titans. I'm just going to put the two names out there and let you take it from here. Adrian Peterson versus Jeremy McNichols.
How quick can Adrian Peterson get caught up to speed? Apparently, Mike Vrabel knows how he runs. So I think McNichols is going to get at least 95% of the snaps. I think Adrian Peterson may actually get in for 10, 15, maybe 5. Who knows? 5 to 15. But it's going to be a game script. Hey, AP, let's get your feet wet. I don't see him coming in a big spot, maybe a first down or something like that. But Don't expect much out of AP yet, but hey, last year AP was a fantasy winner. So he was a little sleeper there throwing some double digits. So in that Titans offense, they're looking pretty good right now. Don't sleep on them. But this week, McNichols, 100% McNichols.
Now you're saying game script dependent and McNichols more of the pass catching back and also the pass, the better pass blocker of the two. The Titans, are you suspecting without Derrick Henry, are going to be playing from behind on Sunday Night Football from SoFi Stadium when they are facing
our Ram It? You know, we're going to Ram It, Ram It, Ram It. Now, I don't like to make predictions because it always comes back and bites me in the butt. But there's a good chance the Titans could be playing from behind. But if they're not, why not switch it up? When Derrick Henry was in, all we were used to is run, run, run. We saw what the Lions did with the Rams and they decided to switch it up on them and throw them off guard. The Titans can just go full out and use McNichols in the pass game and not even run and just randomly run the ball with them. You never know. But I expect McNichols to have a big game regardless, especially for those PPR owners.
Speaking of primetime, Thursday Night Football later this evening, we have the Colts and the Titans. And you know who's pretty fly other than that Mike White guy?
All the girls say I'm pretty fly.
Is it Keith Irizarry?
Of course it's Keith Irizarry. And believe it or not, we've got Keith Irizarry giving us your DFS lineup for Thursday night. And he's coming to us
from the haunted mansion. He's still stuck in Halloween Town at Disneyland. And he is just cruising through the Halloween mansion. He's still in the Halloween spirit. I can't believe this guy. It's unreal.
Well, that is spooky. Keith, take it away.
All right, fam. Keith Irizarry is back. What's up? All right, so week 9, Thursday night football. You got the Jets coming off their biggest win of the season and knocking me out of my survivor pool. That stinks. You got the Colts coming off a really tough loss against the Titans. It's a sneaky good game to watch and a sneaky good game for fantasy. All right, let's go to the bottom, then come back up to the top. I'm going to go with the low low-priced players first. Braxton Berrios, $3,800 on DraftKings, caught both of his targets last week, 13 yards and a touchdown. Extremely limited, I get it. Not even going to be on the field very often. I get it, but we need a punt play if I'm going to afford some of the other players that I want in this lineup. And listen, the Colts have given up the 7th most points to wide receivers, so maybe there's something there. Michael Badgley, $4,400. Last 3 weeks, you get 8 points, 7 points, 7 points. Jets also giving up the 2nd most points to fantasy kickers this season. Let's go with the Colts defense for $5,000. 10 or more fantasy points, 3 consecutive games. They have 9 interceptions, 9 fumble recoveries this season, 6 or more fantasy points in every single game this year. And of course, the Jets, I know that they won a game last week, but they give up the most fantasy points to team defenses all year long. That leaves me with 3 spots. We'll go to Indy first. Carson Wentz, $10,800. I thought about him on the captain's seat. I'm going to just put him in a regular flex spot. 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this year, 2 of those last week. 2 or more passing touchdowns, 5 consecutive games. 21 or more fantasy points, 5 consecutive games. And the Jets, they're pretty good at defense and pretty good against the pass this year. 10th least points to quarterbacks. That was my deciding factor on why he's not in the captain's chair. Leaves me 2 players. I'm going to go with the youngster, Michael Carter, $8,600, coming off the best game of his career. Rushing yards, 77, 95 receiving yards, another touchdown. Leads the Jets in rushing yards and receptions. One of 9 players in the league to have 225 rushing yards, 225 receiving yards. Dude can play. Touches are rising, snaps are rising, needs to be in your lineup. And that leaves me captain, my captain, oh, Captain Jonathan Taylor, JT, for $17,400. It is worth it. 7 touchdowns over his last 5 games. And that I love what he's being used as in the passing game, too. 3 or more catches, 5 of 8 games this year, and 4 of the last 5 games. 18 or more PPR points in 5 consecutive games. And the Jets, yes, they have allowed the most points to running backs in the NFL this season. John and Alex, that is a winning lineup. It's, you know, wins from me to you. Enjoy, fellas.
Yeah, hard to disagree with Jonathan Taylor. Let's fire him up against the Jets. Positive game script, weak rushing defense. I'm honestly,
that make you sweat a little bit?
I'm kind of excited for this game. After all the promise that we had from the Packers and the Cardinals the last time we were on fantasy football, I think lower expectations means it yields a higher reward. John Salas, pleasure as always. We'll be back. Hopefully by next week, Keith Arizari will discover that Disneyland has been turned into Christmas Town. But until then, I'm Alex Hardy. This has been Fantasy Football.
Hopefully one of us make it back next week after our brutal matchup coming up.
Well, I'm going to get you.
See you.